Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 34 is what we're going to read. And I need you, if you have your standard Bible, to flip over to Mark chapter 5 and hold your place there at Mark chapter 5. We're going to read verses 28 through 34 in Matthew, and then we're going to conclude in Mark 5. We're going to conclude with verses 18 through 20. So we're going to read them together. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. If you found the word, let's stand together. And I would like for you, if you found it in your place, I'd like for you to hold your place and let's read it together from the screen. Praise God. Let's read it together, nice and loud. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs. The whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Amen. Oh, I got one more. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We want to speak about knowing Jesus and making him known. Amen. Talking about going and telling your story. We read out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, but we are going to use Mark chapter 5 to help us understand some things that are happening in this story. For in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, the same story is being told. Likewise, in Luke chapter 8, that same story is being repeated. And so in these synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have this story about the healing of a man who had been demon-possessed. In Luke chapter 8, that story is found in verses 26 through verse 39. Matthew's version gives us a nice, succinct, detailed account of what took place. It's almost like, you know how some people love bullet items. Don't give me a whole lot of detail, just give me the points. And so, you know, they've gotten better in their communication styles these days. Sometimes you'll receive an email or a notice, and they'll have at the top of the body bullet items telling you what the email is about. And then in the body, they'll start to explain and share a little bit more detail about each one of those items. Matthew kind of does for us a bullet item shot of what's going on. He hits it. Jesus got out of the boat. He was met by a man who was in the tomb. In Matthew, is two men met by two men who have been living in the tombs. Jesus called out the demons. The demons responded to Jesus. All of a sudden, they begging Jesus so that they are not sent away. He says, you are free to go into the pigs. They go into the pigs. The pigs run off the edge of the cliff, dive into the lake, and they die. Matthew gives you a quick hit. Mark, however, expands a little bit to help us see a little bit more about what's going on with this man. And then he also helps us to see the response of this man after Jesus does what he does in delivering him from the demons. And so it is instructive for you and me to be looking at these three stories together, looking at what Matthew captured and then seeing the detail found in both Mark and Luke. Because in these stories, they are communicating to us a profound truth. We say it often that Jesus, because of his obedience to God, because he laid down his life and died on a cross, because he was obedient to death, that God raised him from the dead and seated him in the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That is a profound truth that you and I need to make sure that we never, ever forget. That there is nothing and no one who will not bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? And what you and I, if we are going to experience victory in this life, if you and I are going to be messengers of the good news of Jesus Christ, telling other men and women how to be set free, you and I need to know that the only way that happens is through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? It is not in how persuasive you can be in your words. Amen? It's not. It is when you realize that your words are empty if they are not empowered by the backing of Jesus Christ, that you lean on him and you depend on him and you rest in him and you say, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit, oh God. And so we rest in you with the realization that whatever it is that may be holding us back cannot stand against the power of God when it is expressed in faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is the realization that when you are looking at folks who look like they are lost and without hope, there is yet one who is able to deliver. And his name is Jesus. Amen? It ain't Kamala Harris, it ain't Donald Trump, it ain't nobody in those national offices that are going to be able to deliver. His name is Jesus. Amen. And you and I, as agents of the kingdom, you and I as ambassadors of the kingdom, you and I as people who have been given the ministry of reconciliation, need to understand the source of our strength, the source of our power, and what it is that delivers men and women. And it is faith in Jesus. When you look at this story about this man or these men who were demon possessed, we see the unfolding of God's power, the power of Christ that happens in an individual's life. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, I'm going to turn there so I can read it without butchering it for you. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus has been tempted in the desert by Satan, there were three temptations that came at Jesus. Jesus defeated each one of those temptations and demonstrated that he had power over the enemy while he was yet in his flesh. When he had come out of the desert, when he had finished fasting, when he had finished carrying out that task, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that he went into the synagogue when he was there on the Sabbath day. He was in Nazareth, and a scroll was given to him, and it was the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. In verse 18, Jesus gives us a glimpse of what he has come to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 reads this way, and these are the words of Jesus speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus said, "This is one of the reasons that I have come. I've come to set men and women free. I've come to deliver them. I've come to show them that the power of God, the kingdom of God, is present and at hand." In Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, when Peter is telling about the experience that he had at a Gentile's house, he's describing who Jesus is. He said, "You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Jesus came to confront the works of the devil and to win salvation for those who would trust in his name. Amen. And when you and I look at this story at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, we see that the power of God upon him is mighty to deliver one who has been in bondage for a while. And that's why I say to you that when you talk about putting your hope, your trust in Jesus, Jesus is able to deliver no matter how long you or another individual has been in bondage. Amen. But now, wait a minute. This is only if you believe. It's only if you believe that, right? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're not believing that God is who he says he is, if you're not believing that Jesus is who he says he is, you cannot expect to receive from him what is available for you. It requires that you and I live and breathe and think and operate in faith that God is not a man that he should lie, that Jesus is able to do everything he ever declared that he could do, that there are not enough words in the English language, in the Hebrew language, in the Greek language to capture God's ability to deliver. And we need to know that there is no thing that has come against us that our God is not able to deliver us from. We got to know that. Because what you believe drives your behavior. Amen. What you believe will cause you to behave certain kinds of ways. If you believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, when you are troubled, what do? You go searching for Jesus. But now, if you believe that Jim can provide better peace than Jesus, then you'll go chase Jim, won't you? Amen. Yeah, I said, why would I chase Jim? Jim Beam, you know. If I had said Jack, you would have known who that was too. Jack who? Daniels, you know. Because what you believe drives your behavior. Amen. And so you and I have to get to the place of taking and putting God's word, hiding God's word in our hearts, meditating on God's word, standing on God's word and saying, even though I have not experienced what you describe, I'm going to yet wait upon you. I'm going to trust in you because I know that you have never lied and you are faithful and you will deliver. And I'm willing to wait on you long enough. I'm willing to wait until you come through. And so I'm just going to stay right here. I'm going to be like Jacob. You remember Jacob, when he was leaving from his uncle's home, returning back home, and he was scared because he had tricked his brother out of his birthright? Jacob found himself one night at an isolated place, and he got to wrestling with somebody he didn't know was on that side of the river. And they struggling and tussling all night long. And Jacob, the man that he is wrestling with says, let me go. And Jacob says, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. Jacob fighting with God. God could have easily taking him out, because it's demonstrated in the next verse, because it says, and then the man that he was fighting with took his little finger, touched him on the hip, and Jacob said, uh-oh. Like I'm going to hold on to you with my limp, right? I'm just saying that's where some of us we've got to get, even if I have a limp, right? I'm going to wait on you, God, until, Lord, what you have said comes to pass in my experience, because I know anything else is going to be bankrupt. This story helps you and me see the power of Jesus Christ. You look at the events of this man's life, you say, but Jesus. Let's walk through it one more time, if you don't mind. This time, let's walk through it in Mark chapter 5. Go to Mark chapter 5. Are you there? Wonderful. One other thing I need to tell you before we walk through this, you can look at it in Mark chapter, if you're in Mark chapter 5, if you go up into verse chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 tells about Jesus calming a storm. In those verses, it's talking about Jesus being on the lake in the middle of a storm, and he speaks to the storm and he says, be quiet, peace be still. The waves and all of that stuff is happening. This is important because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the sequence of this story is the same. In Matthew, before you get to the story about the demon-possessed man, he'll talk about calming a storm. In Mark, before he gets to the story about a demon-possessed man, He talks about Jesus calming a storm. And Luke, before he gets to the story about a demon-possessed man, he talks about Jesus calming the storm. It shows that Jesus has this incredible power and authority over things that otherwise they had not seen anyone exercise that kind of authority. In fact, in each one of those stories, what you will discover is that when Jesus speaks to the waves and to the sea, when he says, be quiet, peace, be still, they look at Jesus and they ask this question, what kind of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. Whoa. Which means that you and I ought to be saying on a regular basis, the Jesus that I serve has command and control over the wind and the waves. Amen? We're just talking about his power, because if you don't believe that he is all powerful, you won't talk to him to talk about or take care of the powerful stuff that's happening in your life. Amen? You need to understand that he is omnipotent, all powerful. There is nothing that can stop him. When he speaks, no one can unspeak what he has spoken. No one can cancel out God's command. When he says that a thing will be, it will be. It doesn't matter that your eyes cannot see what he said. It doesn't matter that your mind cannot fathom what he said. It's going to be because he said it. He steps out into a world that's full of darkness and is confused, and he says, let there be light. And out of the chaos, the darkness, comes light. Because when he speaks, what he has spoken must come to pass. But if you don't believe that your God is all powerful, you won't speak his word over your situation. And if you don't speak his word over your situation, you won't experience his victory over your situation. Amen? We want the kind of victory where we're not having to deal with the stuff on a reoccurring basis. Amen? I ain't talking about the kind of stuff I win today, but 3 months later, I got to deal with it again. Why? Because when I won this time, I did it with my resources. I had a little victory because I was operating by my wisdom, which ain't wisdom at all. I got a little reprieve, but now, because I didn't do it God's way, this thing comes back. Because I didn't put my trust in God, this thing shows back up. What we're talking about is applying God's word to our lives, to our situations, to our circumstances, because when God speaks, his word stands. Amen? And we rest in upon that. And so they see the power of Jesus and they say, what kind of man, what manner of man is this? They were really just being set up to really see what kind of man Jesus really was. All right. Are you at Mark chapter 5? I'll be quick. Maybe not. I'll try. And what we want to see are some important things about the man that we're talking about. Okay? The first thing that we want to see comes in verse 2. It says that the man had an evil spirit. You see that? When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure or evil spirit came to meet him. So that's the first thing. Look at verse number 3, because it's describing this man. In verse number 3, it said he lived in the tombs. Now, you do know what the tombs mean, right? The tombs is where dead folk were. All right? That's right. When somebody died, they would put them in a tomb. So he's living in the place where dead people live. Now, look at the next part. The reason he was there was because no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. So his condition was so bad that he often had to be chained hand and foot. But because he was under the influence of an evil spirit or evil spirits, it says that he often broke those chains and those irons that were on his feet. Now, in my Bible, this sentence is underlined. No one was strong enough to subdue him. So his condition is so bad. When the evil spirits came upon him, he had such strength and might that no one was able to subdue him. Verse 5 says, night and day in the tombs, he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. Are you seeing the condition of this man that Jesus is getting ready to deal with? Living in a place where dead people reside. Chain, but the chains can't hold him. And he is in such torment that he spends his night and his days yelling, hollering, crying out with a loud voice and cutting himself with the stones. That's torment. He's in a bad shape. And so when he sees Jesus, Jesus sees him. Because Jesus had called out to him and had commanded the evil spirits who were in him to come out. So in verse number 5, we see what Jesus said to the evil spirit, come out. Verse 8, come out. And then Jesus begins to talk to the man. And talk to the spirit. He's talking to the man, but because the evil spirit has such dominance, the evil spirit is the one talking back to Jesus. I'm just wanting you and me to see the condition of the man to appreciate the power of Christ. Amen? I want us to see the condition of the man to appreciate the deliverance that comes when Christ speaks and the man's response, which we read earlier. And I want us to recognize that even though this feels like it is an extreme, that you and I experience some of this stuff in our lives when we are being tormented. I didn't get no amens on that one, huh? Amen. Y'all don't be tormented, huh? Oh, you just don't realize that you're being tormented until the light shines on you. Until you have insight from the Spirit of God that helps you know that what you're going through, the thoughts that you're having, they ain't coming from God. Because you and I can sometimes mistake the thoughts that we think. We can think that somehow those are right thoughts, but no, you have an influence that's coming your way that's tormenting you and causing you misery and pain, and you don't realize it until the Spirit of God illuminates that experience and helps you understand that no. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. I did not come to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life. I didn't come to bring confusion into your world. I came to bring you peace. I didn't come so that your nights would be sleepless. I came so that you would have sweet sleep. And when you tossing and turning all night long, can I just go ahead and tell you, tossing and turning ain't from God. He might wake you up in the midnight hour sometime, but it ain't so that you can toss and turn. When he wake you up, he wake you up so that he can talk to you. He wake you up so that he can tell you, I need you to pray for such and such and so and so. He wakes you up because you've been waiting on an answer. And he says, now here is the answer. But he doesn't wake you up to make you toss and turn. If you tossing and turning and you've already changed your mattress out, you may want to examine the source of your restless nights. Amen. You tossing and turning, why don't you just get up sometime and say, okay, Lord, if it's you, here I am. And begin talking to him. Let him begin to speak to you, because he then wants to give you something special. And if by chance the devil or one of his soldiers is tormenting you, and you get up and you start talking to God, they not going to appreciate that. And what they had come to do, they would realize this was not a good time, and they will leave. Remember the scripture, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Well, y'all, we got to learn how to apply the word of God in our lives. We've got to learn how, when things ain't right, I got to submit to God, trust him in all of his ways. And then what he does is he brings his power to bear upon our circumstance, upon our situation, and he releases us and he gives us freedom to know him and experience him. So Jesus is talking to the man, but because of the influence of the evil spirit is now using the man to talk back to Jesus. And so he's saying stuff to Jesus where the man should be talking. He's using the man's tongue to talk to Jesus to plead his case. This is the evil spirit pleading his case with Jesus, because remember, he's recognized who Jesus is. He recognized that Jesus is the Son of God. And he's saying, have you come to torture us before the appointed time? Have you come to run me out and send me to the place called the abyss? No, Jesus, no. He came. He recognized Jesus. It's a shame when demons will recognize Jesus, but you and I, people won't. They understand the power of the Son of God, but we don't. And if Jesus was merciful enough to say to the demons, you can run into the pigs, what kind of mercy and grace will he show to you and me when we cry out and say, help me? If only we could learn to recognize him when he shows up. So Jesus asked the man, what is your name? This is insightful, the answer that we get back, because the demon says, my name is Legion. And then we get an explanation as to why that was said. It says, because we are many. So this man is not being tormented by just one evil spirit, by just one demon. He is being tormented by many. In his teaching, Jesus helps us understand this. He says that when a house is swept clean, he said the evil spirit that was in the house will leave and is looking for a place to rest, but it can't find a place to rest. And so it'll return back to a familiar house and territory. And he comes back and he finds the house has been swept clean. And he's like, let me go get my boys, because this is the place we want to be. So it says he will go and get others to come and dwell with him in this residence. And then it says the man's new condition is worse than his previous condition. Jesus was saying all of that for you and I to understand that when he cleans us up, we need to make sure that his spirit fills us up. And we need to make sure that then we are allowing his word to fill us up so that we live in him. Because if he cleans us up and we don't let his spirit have his way, we in trouble. If he cleans us up and we don't allow his word to become a part of who we are, we in trouble. So he says that when you become a new creation, see, that's the cleanup part, right? I know y'all heard this last week. I'm just kind of doing a recap. It says, anyone who is in Christ Jesus is what? A new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. When you come to know Jesus, you become a new creation. In that new creation, you've got to allow the Spirit of God to fill you up. And then you've got to learn how to rest and trust upon the word of God. For it is the word of God and the spirit of God that helps you to stand in the midst of fights. Because the enemy of your soul don't want to see you free and happy. So he'll come chasing you down to steal your joy. If it looks like you've got a vacancy sign over your life, he's going to move in and book a reservation. So you've got to make sure that you fill the rooms, Christ himself, with his spirit and with the word of God. Amen. So this man said, we are legion because there are many. And then we see what happens as the demons are begging Jesus, let us go into the herd of pigs that are over there. Jesus gives them permission to go into the herd of pigs. And it says when the evil spirits went into the pigs, we get a number for how many pigs it was, about 2,000. Again, we're going through this detail so that you can appreciate the power that Jesus shows in this man's life. First of all, he has authority over evil spirits. That's good news for you and me. Can I just tell you right now, don't you be scared of no demons. Respect them, but don't be scared of them. Amen? When you respect the thing, you treat it the way it's supposed to be treated, right? You don't ignore its potential and power when you respect it. But don't be scared of it. An evil spirit come your way, don't get scared. Don't call the Ghostbusters, but don't be scared. Amen? Why? Because you have the power of the Son of God who lives in you, and you are operating by his authority. And when you operate by his authority with his name, they must obey what you have said. Amen. And if you try to deal with them by any other means, you're going to get beat down. I'm just going to listen. When you're trying to use human agency, trying to deal with spiritual or demonic or evil situations, you in trouble. You need to apply your spiritual weapons to spiritual things. That is the only way you and I will be victorious. If you cuss a demon out, you know what's going to happen. He's going to cuss you back. And because he's seasoned and aged and he's been through generation after generation after generation, he's going to throw some new stuff on you that you ain't seen. Don't cuss him out. Bless him out. In the name of Jesus. This don't belong to you. In the name of Jesus. I ain't yours. In the name of Jesus. You notice the emphasis on the name of Jesus. The thing that I'm promoting more than anything else is the name of Jesus. I belong to Jesus. Amen. That's the name. If you're going to say something over and over and over again, it ought to be Jesus. Amen? Don't be talking about how strong you are. Don't be talking about the last battle that you won. Don't go through all of that. What you need to do is focus on in the name of Jesus. This is territory that you are not allowed to enter. So I command you now in the name of Jesus, go elsewhere. When he leave, don't come back. Come on, y'all. For real? Amen. Excuse me. It should have been in the name of Jesus. Don't come back. Amen. 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 This man, possessed by these spirits run into a herd of pigs. How many? 2,000. When they run into this herd of pigs, we see what happens. Immediately, the pigs run off the hillside, hit the lake, and they drown. And so this man has been tormented by an evil spirit that when it hits a herd of 2,000 pigs, it takes them and drives them off the cliff. That's how severe and powerful that demonic influence was in that man's life. But Jesus, by his word, commands them to leave. And when Jesus, by his word, commands them to leave, a man who had been tormented, captured, under arrest by demons that took out 2,000 pigs, was now clothed and in his right mind. He was now set free and no longer under the influence of demonic spirits. But Jesus came and rescued him. He can now walk in his true identity. He is no longer having to be identified by who the evil spirit said he was, because the evil spirit said, we are legion. No. Now he can walk by his true identity. Now, what we get, man, I'm sorry, I'm just taking way too long. What's that? Thank you. I appreciate that. So we've got eyewitnesses that then go back and tell what happened. So there was someone there to witness what went down with the man and with Jesus. They go back. They describe this transaction that happens between Jesus and this man, and they tell the folks, and the folks do something amazing. They say that, you know what? We need you to leave. Everyone has seen the torment that this man has experienced. They now see the power that Jesus has demonstrated, but their response to Jesus' power is, you're not welcome here. We need you to leave. Now, they're operating out of their fear because they've never seen a power like this before. And because of apparently the evil influence that has existed in this place, they're saying, if that guy is that powerful and we don't know who he is, we don't know that we want him around here. So they're operating out of fear and ignorance. Okay? Their fear and their ignorance says, we don't want the best thing since sliced bread. We want him to leave. So they ask Jesus to leave. And because Jesus is not one to force himself upon people, Jesus responds to their request by leaving. Jesus, at their request, heads back to his boat, gets in the boat, and he is ready to leave. However, something has happened in that experience because there was a man who had been under the influence of evil spirits that had caused him to torment himself, that had caused him to cut himself, that had caused him to be separated from his family. That man is now set free. Somebody gave him some clothing. Now he is dressed, and now he is in his right mind. He is no longer crying out and yelling out. Now he can think straight. And he then looks at Jesus and says, where you going? Yo, hold up. Wait, brother. He runs to the boat trying to catch Jesus. Can I go with you? Because if these folk that crazy, I don't want to be here. And Jesus says, look, man, look. You cannot go. You cannot go. I delivered you because you were in torment, but I've got a job for you. I got a job for you. I set you free. And you're now, because you know me, you're going to make me known to these folks who responded in ignorance and out of fear. You're going to help them understand that what I did for you, I can also do for others. You're going to help them understand, because everybody knows you, brother. You've got a reputation throughout this region, and now you're going to become my spokesperson to prepare the ground so that when I come back, others can experience what you have experienced. And so he says to him, no, you can't go with me. I want you first to go back home to your family. And I want you to tell them what I have done for you. And I want you to tell them about the mercy that I showed you. And I want them to lay eyes on you and see that you are a new creation. I want them to look at you and see that because you had an encounter with me, that you have been restored. And because of the depth at which that man had been and his ability now to understand who Jesus is, he went about, and it says he was telling other people, yes, everybody, about what Jesus had done for him. Verse 20, it says, so he went away, began to tell in the Decapolis. That's that region that Jesus was getting ready to visit, but they said no. How much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now, the people that were amazed are not the people that told Jesus to leave. They were just afraid. The people that were amazed were those that, as he went, he told his story. He now knows Jesus, and now he's making Jesus known. Mm-hmm. Since I've run out of time, I'm just going to tell you. Go to Mark chapter 7, and I want you to add this to your reading, because in Mark chapter 7, it starts around about verse number 31. Mark chapter 7, verse number 31. I want you to go read that. Read from verse 31 in chapter 7 to about verse number 10 in chapter 8. Because in that package of verses, what it shows is that because of this man's witness, because of this man's testimony, because this man was willing to tell his story wherever he went, that the area was then prepared for Jesus to return. And when Jesus came back, what happened was this man's story had reached the masses. And now folk found out that Jesus was in town. And now they are coming to him, bringing their sick to him, bringing their deaf to him, bringing the mute to him, saying, we know what you did for this brother over here. You got any more of that for us? And it was all because this man who had been demon-possessed knew Jesus and made Jesus known. Another way of saying that is he went about telling his story about what Jesus did for him. The main subject of his story was Jesus and his deliverance. Just as it should be with your story. The main subject of your story ought to be Jesus. What he has done for you and how he has impacted your life. Amen? That has to be your job and my job, because that is one of the reasons that we were saved and delivered. so that we could be witnesses, so that we could be a testimony for the power of Jesus Christ. He says that you and I are to comfort others with the comfort that we have received. That means that we're telling others about our stories. That when we were down and out, Jesus showed up. When we were lonely, he made his way into our experience. Amen. When we didn't know what to do, his wisdom flooded us, because that's just the kind of God that he is. When we were troubled and disturbed, the Prince of Peace came to rest with us. You and I have got to start telling our stories. In other words, if you know Jesus, you need to make Jesus known. Because you can't make known one that you don't know. But if you know him, you need to make him known. Because you have become the advertisement, the billboard, the commercial for the power of the King. Amen. And it is my hope that he has done something for you. Huh? Amen. It's my hope that he has done something for you. Listen, if he has not done anything for you, let me help you out today. All right? Because, okay, he said amen. Because if you've never trusted in him, you need to know he did something for you, even though you haven't received it. For he says that while you were yet a sinner, Jesus died for you. God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son, and he died for you while you were yet a sinner. And through that one act, he set you free from the weight. He set you free from the debt. He set you free from the guilt that came with your sinful lifestyle. And he said, I am wiping away all of your sins. And I am making you new, not to remember them again. They have been forgiven, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And if it's brought up, he said, it won't be me. That I'm not the one who will remind you of what you did and what you said. Because for me, it's a done deal. And now God says, I see you through the blood of Jesus Christ. For him, you have been washed and set free. So you need to get to know him so that you can tell others about him. So that you can tell them, you know someone who can deal with their heartache and their pain. You know someone who can deal with their shame. You know someone who can help them get past who they were because he knows who they should be. You know someone that has a purpose and a plan for their lives. And he is willing to give them the details so that they will walk in the newness of life and be able to walk in God's design for what he created them for. You need to get to know Jesus so that you can tell others about this Jesus that is able to set men and women. Brothers and sisters, that's what we've been commissioned to do. You are an ambassador, the ministry of reconciliation, calling men and women to be reconciled to God. You've got to do it through your experience and knowledge of who Jesus is. And you've got to tell them the story about this man, Jesus, that saved you and rescued you, and what he has done for any of his children, he is willing to do for you. Because he is no respecter of persons. And our salvation is not based upon how much we make. It is not based upon where we were born. It is not based upon our education. Our salvation is based upon our belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he says, at the foot of the cross, you all look the same to me. So you and I must We must tell our stories. You must make Jesus known. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you first and foremost for the finished work of Jesus Christ and for his love for us. We thank you, God, for how our sins are washed away by his blood. We thank you, God. Lord, you have renewed us, made us new creations, given us, God, new assignments. We thank you for redemption, showing our value because you purchased us not with silver or gold or those things that tarnish, but you purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ, illustrating and demonstrating to us again just how valuable we are. Now that you have established our value, help us to walk in your calling. We thank you for this privilege that you have given to us to share not only in your love, but also in your glorious purposes, both near and far. That you have gifted each one of us for a unique part in your global search for people who will repent and believe and learn to live for your glory. We celebrate, God, your high calling of knowing you, making you known. We praise you for giving us your Holy Spirit and for filling us and for empowering us and for promising to be with us always. And as we leave today, help us then to be able to articulate with clarity the story of Jesus Christ and his impact upon our lives. We thank you today for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen.